What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
This is Asked and Answered.
Questions.
With Tom Opferman and Steelers Digest editor Bob Labriola.
The draft is just a week away, but right now we are trying to get ourselves through one of the deadest periods of the NFL offseason, and it's usually a very busy offseason for that league, so this is a rarity, and again, only a week until we're done, Labs, but you did mention to me before we went on, yesterday was a date of minor significance when it comes to offseason workouts, players returning to the facilities. I mean, nothing to really go crazy about, but at least it's something to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, minor in all caps, too. Let's emphasize that part of it. You know, the rule for the start of offseason programs is for NFL teams is that teams with returning head coaches are able to start their program on April 15th. Now, that's phase one. I mean, and phase one is, you know, just conditioning and weightlifting, you know, that kind of stuff. There's no, you know, there's no footballs even allowed to be part of this.
Right.
Seriously. And these are serious rules.
Yeah, right.
And teams that violate these, you know, you can lose days off, OTA days, which is, and that is even, as Mike Tomlin calls it, football-like.
Yeah, right.
Stuff in shorts, but you can lose OTAs, and if you know they're really serious transgressions, you could lose draft picks. So you know this is very serious in terms of following the rules. It's a really long time, even before you get to OTAs, which I think that they start like May 20th around there. And again, as I said, that's you know shorts and helmets. So that's not even, mini camp.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a long time away. But it is, as you mentioned, something to talk about. It is another, kind of milepost on the off season calendar. And, it has started.
Well, the biggest milepost on the off season calendar starts next Thursday with the NFL draft. And let's get to our questions, because our first question has something to do with the draft and quarterbacks, so it's the daily double there. Joe Ryan from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. If the Steelers decide to move up in the draft for quarterback, do you see them trading Justin Fields plus picks to draft one, or just trade picks?
I mean,
I like it.
This is Steelers fans love their quarterbacks. I mean, you never have enough high profile ones. You never have enough number one picks on the roster at the position, and you can never ever waste enough picks on bringing more in. But you know, the Steelers just added Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. I don't see that they're going to trade Justin Fields plus draft picks to move up in the first round to pick another quarterback. I mean, you know, you haven't even, you know, we were just talking about the off-season calendar and how there's nothing. There's no even footballs allowed on the field probably until late May. So, you know, you haven't even seen Justin Fields, and you won't have seen him do anything but maybe, you know, run on the treadmill in the weight room and lift some weights. You're going to trade him? I mean, what did you get him for then? No, that's not going to happen. I cannot imagine a realistic possibility where the Steelers trade draft capital and use it to pick a quarterback.
Maybe they should just use every pick in the draft on a quarterback. Just have 7 new quarterbacks come in, and just one of them has to be good, right?
Well, and, you know, we could then just flip over from, you know, using human beings to just make it Madden football all the time and hand everyone one of those. Everybody's going to be yelling boomer at me when I try and explain this, but whatever the controls are called that you use to play Madden, just, and everybody, you know,
just
can have one of those.
Yeah, you just call it a controller. Something, you know, if you wanted to be cool, you call it the sticks. You pass the sticks.
Okay. See, I was afraid to say that because, you know, back when video games first came out, that was one of the things, you know, it was a joystick.
Right.
Yeah, so I wasn't going to say that, but okay, you did.
Eric Schenk from Las Vegas, Nevada wants to know more about Justin Fields. This having to do with his contract. He asks, I know the Steelers organization has until May 2nd to decide on Fields' fifth-year option. Assuming they don't exercise the fifth-year option, are they allowed to come to a different contract term on an extension before the end of the football season and him hitting free agency?
In word, yes. You know, Justin Fields is now part of the Steelers organization. They traded for him. That trade was approved. He has a contract. And, when there is a trade, the team acquiring the player also acquires that player's contract. So he is now Steelers' property, so to speak, in terms of the employer-employee relationship. And so they can negotiate with him tomorrow. They can announce this afternoon that they have come to a long-term contract extension agreement with Justin Fields, if that would be the case. They are allowed to do that. Now, they have between today and the start of the regular season to get something done because, you know, the Steelers don't negotiate contract extensions once the regular season starts. If nothing would happen, you know, by that deadline, then after the 2024 season, they would also own Justin Fields' exclusive negotiating rights from the end of that season until, you know, the start of the new league year, 2025. So there are, you know, windows that are available to get something done if, you know, that is what both sides can come to an agreement on.
Chris Lippert from St. Robert, Missouri. I just saw where 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy almost doubled his salary with incentives. My question, is that figured into last year's salary cap or this year's salary cap?
Okay, it's really technically not incentives, but let me just explain. Brock Purdy, in his contract with the 49ers, he earned $870,000 in salary in 2023. Okay, that was part of the contract he signed as a rookie. Okay, then what he received an additional $740,000 just about as part of an NFL program that's called performance-based pay. Okay, so let me explain that. It started back in 2002 with that collective bargaining agreement. The league and the Players Association came up with a program that created a fund for guys, you know, on low-salary contracts who play a lot for their teams, then to be able to supplement their income. And they call that performance-based pay. Now, Chris mentioned Brock Purdy. I will mention Dan Moore Jr., Steelers left tackle. He was also in that group from performance-based pay that was announced a little while ago. And Dan Moore, he got $740,000 for performance-based pay, and that was in addition to his contracted salary of $940,000 for the 2023 season. So there are guys, you know, like that who get that kind of money. Kelvin Beachum back in, you know, going back, not all the way back in the way back machine, but a little bit in the way back machine. He was a seventh-round pick who ended up starting for the Steelers on the offensive line. You know, in seventh-round picks, their rookie contracts are low. And if you're a starter, that you benefit from this performance-based pay program. Now, the final part of the answer is that funds that are distributed through performance-based pay program do not count on a team salary cap. That's something, you know, as the league, as I mentioned, the league and the players union negotiated that. And so teams aren't, don't have to somehow account for that. You know, a team like close to the cap, for example, might not play a guy, you know, because they don't want to go over the cap if he would get a big check from performance-based pay. So it doesn't count on the cap. It's just something that the league and the union decided was the right thing to do for some of these guys with low-paying contracts who see a lot of playing time.
Ed Soltis from Follinsbee, West Virginia, asks, does Juju Smith-Schuster get a consideration at some point? Of course, noting the Steelers' hole at wide receiver.
Yeah. You know, let me say this. We'll start with this. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster is under contract in New England through the 2025 NFL season. So, I mean, that's all of this coming year and then all of next year. So, I mean, it's not something where you could just call up Juju's agent and say, hey, you want to come to Pittsburgh, let's do a deal. I mean, you have to, you know, get if the Patriots are even willing to trade him, which I don't know one way or the other, to trade him, then you got to, you know, compensate that team. And, you know, Juju's ship has sailed a little bit, I think. You know, the Steelers are looking for top-end wide receiver talent. They're looking for somebody, you know, because they traded Deontay Johnson. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster is, you know, he's been injured a lot. He's played a lot. I mean, he's not that kind of guy anymore. You know, that's another thing Steelers fans like. You know, they get nostalgic. And so, no, I don't think that that's the kind of receiver that the Steelers would be interested in adding to the roster at this point.
Jack Buber from Atlanta, Georgia. Why are the Steelers unwilling to try Nick Herbig at inside linebacker? He's 6'2", 240 pounds, compared to Patrick Queen, who is 6'2", 232, and Herbig is almost as fast.
You know, we were talking earlier about Madden versus real-life football. This is another example of maybe not realizing the difference between real life football and Madden football.
Plug and play those guys, Labs. They
yeah, but you know, I mean, height, weight, and speed is, I mean, that's not the determining factor in whether a guy can or should be playing a particular position.
By the way, being and almost as fast as someone is enough to be very, very, very far away from them in the NFL when you get to that level.
Yeah, and let's not forget this either. You know, the T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith are the Steelers' starting edge rushers, outside linebackers, whatever you want to call them. And those guys, you know, they are rotated. I mean, because they are most effective when they are fresh throughout a game, then throughout, you know, weeks of the season, throughout an entire season. Also, there have been instances when those guys have been hurt. So you need more than two. And Nick Herbig, I thought, showed that he is capable of being a number three guy at that position. And that's a valuable position for the Steelers defense, an important position for the Steelers defense. Why would you want to move him? You know, you finally, after all of the misses there, Melvin Ingram and, you know, those kinds of things, you got a guy. He was a late day three pick, sixth round, I think. And, you know, that was a good pick, or maybe it was a fourth round pick. I'm sorry, I got a brain lock there.
They had so many great picks last year, Labs, though. It's hard to keep track of them.
But or what round they came in. But anyway, my point is, you did a good job evaluating someone, finding him, picking him, and adding him. You know, getting him into the system, and he was a contributor last year. You know, let's just move him. You know, let's move him somewhere else because, you know, so that to me is not, you know, Mike Tomlin likes Nick Herbig as an outside linebacker. He thinks he's pretty good at it. He has good quickness. And he has shown himself to be an effective pass rusher in limited opportunities last year as a rookie. He's going to get better. Leave him alone. And that's what I really believe the Steelers are going to do. They're going to leave him alone. He's an outside linebacker. They sign Patrick Queen. Leave Nick Herbig where he is.
David Biter from Newcastle, Pennsylvania. With Steelers signing another tight end in Michael Pruitt, what are your thoughts on whether they may move Darnell Washington to offensive tackle? I heard that being discussed on a radio station.
Yeah. Don't listen to that radio station anymore. you know, Darnell Washington, he's a outstanding blocking tight end. You need that. Okay? Just because a tight end can block doesn't mean you should move him to tackle. You know, Darnell Washington probably is not going to be a dynamic receiving tight end, but he can be a dynamic blocking tight end. And Arthur Smith's offense is one that is not shy about using multiple tight ends. And so having a tight end there who can do that block is valuable to the running game. It may help in the passing game. I mean, we're going to have to see how Arthur Smith's offense evolves and how it adjusts to the talent that he has on this Steelers roster. So a lot of this stuff is wait and see. But, you know, Darnell Washington, one of the things about him is, you know, he has this knee situation where there has been some speculation, not by the Steelers, but you know, out in the prints or out in the media, that, you know, he may not have a really long career because of his knees. Mm. Now, if you added a bunch of weight, that doesn't help those knees. So again, just leave him where he is, maximize his ability at that position. He's not like he's a big salary cap drain or anything. He's only going into a second season, so you have him, you know, second year, third year, fourth year before his rookie contract is up. There's no time element involved. I mean, again, let the guy learn and form a career for himself at his position.
So just to be clear, we don't think this is going to be Larry Brown 2.0 with Darnell Washington.
No, I don't. and, you know, Larry Brown 2.0 happened because of an injury that Chuck Knoll
forced his hand.
Forced his hand. So, you know, maybe this is kind of like the opposite of that, where you're not making the move because of the potential for an injury instead of making the move as a reaction to an injury.
John M. Wyszynski from Clemens, North Carolina. With the banning of the hip drop tackle, can you recall any Steelers who were seriously injured in past years by this tackling technique?
And anyone who remembers the height of one of the recent versions of the Steelers-Bengals rivalry, that including Vontaze Burfict.
All right.
November 1st, 2015, Bengals in Pittsburgh. Burfict did the hip drop tackle. And he ended running back Le'Veon Bell's season. And at that time, Le'Veon Bell was a big part, you know, of that offense. It was a play where Burfict hip drop tackled Bell. Bell injured an MCL in his knee, and he went on IR, and he missed the rest of the season. The Steelers finished 10-6 that year. Then they beat the Bengals in the wild card round in that Pac-Man Jones game. Everybody remembers how that ended. Pac-Man Jones and Burfict, who concussed Antonio Brown, and, you know, all the shenanigans that were going on there. And then after they beat the Bengals in the wild card round, the Steelers advanced to the divisional round. They lost to eventual Super Bowl champion Denver in Denver in that game.
Daniel Mazenko from Lititz, Pennsylvania. There is a realistic possibility that the Steelers will select an offensive lineman in the first round of this year's draft. If it happens, they could have two of the five positions manned by their own first-round picks. I know they had Marquise Pouncey and David DeCastro recently, but the Steelers didn't make the Super Bowl when they were both on the team. Did any of the Steelers' eight Super Bowl teams have two or more first-round draft picks on the offensive line?
The starting offensive line for the Steelers in Super Bowl 40 had three first-round picks. starting on the offensive line. Starting in that game, played in Ford Field against Seattle. Alan Faneca, 26th overall in 1998, started at left guard. Kendall Simmons, 30th overall in 2002, started at right guard. And Jeff Hardings, 23rd overall by Detroit in 1996, was at center. The Steelers spent some considerable free agent money to bring Hardings to the team in 2004. So in addition to those three guys, all number one picks, two by the Steelers, one by the Lions, also starting on that offensive line, Super Bowl 40, Marvell Smith, second round, 38th overall in 2000, started at left tackle, and Max Starks, third round, 75th overall in 2004, started at right tackle. So three number ones, a number two, and a number three represented a lot of draft capital and free agent money that was invested in that offensive line.
And our final question today comes from Ray Shahen from Kissimmee, Florida. The Steelers have been signing some unrestricted free agent wide receivers to one-year contracts or two-year contracts. Are those players guaranteed the money or a part of it even if they don't make the team, or are they guaranteed to make the team regardless?
No, there's the thing about the NFL is, you know, unless you're the Browns and do something really stupid and guarantee an entire contract to a quarterback, that doesn't happen.
God bless the Browns. There aren't
those. Or, you know, since he was mentioned earlier in this podcast, as Juju would say, the Browns is the Browns. No, the only guarantees in those contracts, even though if they're one year or 2 years, and these, you know, veteran unrestricted free agent deals, is if there's a signing bonus. And usually for veteran unrestricted free agents, there is some kind of signing bonus involved. So that's the only guaranteed money. They don't get anything else if they don't make the team, and there's no guarantee that they would make the team. I mean, that would never be put in the contract, and that would never be stated in terms of, you know, a fact. You might say to a guy in that situation, here is our depth chart at wide receiver. Certainly you got to believe, you know, you can beat some of these guys out. But you would never say, yeah, don't worry about it. You know, you can show up 50 pounds overweight and we'll keep you on the roster anyway. That just doesn't happen.
We're just a little over a week away from the 2024 NFL draft starting next Thursday, so make sure you're reading your mock drafts before you go to bed at night. Make sure everybody out there is up to speed on what will be happening on Thursday night. Labs and I will be back again next week, talk a little bit about the draft, and of course read and respond to some of your questions. If you have questions that you want answered, get them into Labs now, and you just might hear them on a future edition of Asked and Answered.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.